You're listening to Game Play with Matthew Cause on TSN 1050. Embrace the odds.
I want winners.
Welcome back to the second hour of the show. A reminder that here on TSN 1050, World Junior Semifinal pregame starts at 3:30. Puck drop at 4 o'clock. It's Canada versus evil, evil Czechia, who beat the United States and ruined... Yeah, I know. I'm in 100% agreement with you as well. Hey, they... Because we all wanted Canada versus States. And again, good... Like, I lament it, but good on Czechia for doing that. I mean, good on them for getting that win, putting themselves in a semifinal position. That's great for the kids and the coaching staff, but it's lousy for us Canadians who wanted to see Canada versus the United States. Now, they will rescue you from your car lease. Lease Busters. Heroic? Maybe. Helpful? Totally. People would love to take over your car lease. For your lease relief, go to leasebusters.com. We do this every Friday, and I make it seem like it's a long story tradition, but it's a new tradition. It's time now for the Friday Podium.
Gold, silver, and bronze yogurt lids.
It's time for Maddie to own the Friday Podium.
Now, the bronze are really blue, and they're also the backside of the gold, so no flipping.
And give us his top three sports stories of the week.
But wait a minute, now I gotta flip this. Top stories of the week. I thought it was the winners of the week. This is very different. What producer Aron, what the hell did I just do? I'm sure you get confused for Aron all the time, Chris.
Oh, yeah.
So I can switch this on the go. Are we winners? Is it winners of the week or is it the biggest stories of the week?
It's one and the same, really. I mean,
No. Because here, let me explain to you. Ben Simmons was going to get the bronze medal for winners of the week because somehow he was able to extract money from the 76ers because Philly didn't pay him this year because, you know, he didn't want to play for them. He didn't suit up. He didn't do a bleeping thing.
That fits the criteria. You can absolutely use
but that's
that.
Not a story of the week. That's a winner versus a story. So we got to okay, you know what? I'm going to do stories of the week.
Okay.
And then at number 3, I'm going to go with the up and down week that was for the Toronto Blue Jays. Where it we got, and you could feel it, when they lost 4-2 to Baltimore, where Vlad hit that 2-run home run, everyone got so down. I did as well. Then the next day, they were able to come back and beat the Orioles. They beat the Yankees yesterday, and we are all on total standings watch. So my number 3, much like a Jose Barrios start, the up-and-down nature of the Toronto Blue Jays. That is my bronze for biggest story of the week.
I'm going to go to the college football route. Thankfully, the coldest Crawford has left us with a beautiful gift, Matt. Mm. One of the most all-time legendary commercials that you really could ever imagine.
Wes, our AC is the coldest.
I'm always the coldest.
SOS to the rescue.
Hey, this is Dakota Crawford, wide receiver from Louisiana, now playing at Lincoln. When your AC isn't the coldest, you call SOS Heating and Cooling. Their techs don't make commissions, so they give you an honest opinion, fair pricing, and longer warranties than a competition guaranteed. Take it from Dakota's. We will keep you cool this summer.
So I think what we're going to see now is a trend. Future generations of kids, because of the nil deal in the U.S. college athletics, I think we're going to see DeFerrari. I think we're going to see people named DeLexis. And this is going to be really a huge marketing opportunity for all these young players.
Okay, here's what I see. I love when the local car dealership does their own commercial. And you could tell the nephew and the niece of the owner, they get to be in the commercial. It's horribly acted, horribly scripted, horribly shot, and it's really funny. So now you're going to have the football players in small areas, like Tuscaloosa, you know, in Gainesville, and they're going to be doing these commercials. And the car company, they're going to blow their budget getting the second-year defensive lineman to say how much they want to buy a new Chevy. And there is going to be just a treasure trove of bad commercials for us to laugh at.
Yeah, really. It is a gift that I think will keep on giving for a very extended period of time. So thank you to college athletics for not being such sticklers anymore. Let these guys make some money.
And really, you just decided that as your third as an excuse to play that commercial.
Oh, 100%.
I like what you did there. To me, the second biggest story of the week is Tiger Woods. It is Tiger Woods flying in to have a three-hour meeting before the second leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs. And so for him, rallying the troops, everyone getting on board, that for me is the number two story of the week. Tiger Woods trying to do what he can for the PGA in their battle against the LIV Golf Series.
It was a pretty big week for Tiger. He was also named as the cover athlete for PGA 2K23. Mm-hmm. So not only was he named to that, he was used as a weapon. He's being weaponized against LIV.
Yep. Oh, yeah. So that's my silver medal. What's yours?
My silver medal is going to go to Toronto Blue Jays fans. Do you know why that might be, Matt?
Wasn't it a Looney Dog or something the other day? Or
oh, well, that's a silver lining. I didn't even consider that. No, Matt. They are the second place. They are the silver winners because they no longer, for the rest of the season, have to watch Yusei Kikuchi start in games. And don't get me wrong, I think he's a talented guy. We've had this conversation before, but as Jim Thorne once said on the Orioles broadcast, I have had enough. I do not want to see this guy pitch for the rest of this season as a starter. So I think Blue Jays fans can take that silver medal and enter the weekend on a good note.
Except for when he came in the eighth inning in a 9-2 game yesterday and started with a walk and a single. But then, to Kikuchi's credit, took him only 10 pitches to retire the next three Yankees. The gold medal in terms of biggest story of the week is Deshaun Watson. It's what's it going to be? What's it going to be? And then it finally came out. It was 11 games. And then that story is just keeping up, is keeping in the news because he doubled down on his innocence and the idea that he's shown any remorse or he's ready to grow as a person. That storyline got destroyed by Deshaun Watson when he spoke to the media. So that is, to me, the gold medal story of the week.
Self-sabotage, no doubt. Yeah. And I know you're looking at more of the story angle here. I'm looking at more of the winner angle here. Okay. But I will say, I think you nailed it. I think you got the top three stories in our market correct for sure. I'm going to go for gold. I'm going to go with Brad Treliving and the Calgary Flames adding Nazem Kadri.
Absolutely.
You know, all the moves that they've made in the offseason have not occurred in this last week, but getting Nazem Kadri is the pièce de résistance. It's the cherry on top. It is the bow on top of the present under the tree. I cannot give enough flowers to how Brad Treliving has handled this offseason, and this was just really a culmination of him making the very best out of what was an atrociously hard situation.
100%. Absolutely. I kept Brad Treliving off the list, because once we switched to win, to me, well, we'll debate this later, but he did it in a first small market.
Mm-hmm.
It can be harder to attract players. He did it in evil Canada, where a lot of players, they don't want to come up here because there's a lot of media. Yet basketball players want to be in L.A. and baseball players want to be in New York. Okay. So he did it like that. He just, I can't remember such a difference in perception of a franchise within the course of a month or so in the offseason. Where, like, we were talking about it. Johnny Gaudreau, gone. Tkachuk, I don't want to be here anymore. Suddenly it was Sutter should go, time to tank, trade everyone. Uh-oh, Calgary, you should be worried. And then that went into, oh, God, Austin Matthews is going to leave. He's going to leave Canada. And just, we dined off that topic. And now it's Huberto, it's Mackenzie Weegar, it's Kadri, and we can have the debate which team is better. The moment that Matthew Tkachuk said, I want out of here, the idea that in August we'd be having a conversation, are the Flames better and more talented this year than they were last year? That would have seemed insane.
It is a masterclass in every sense of the word. I know that we still have to say, let's see how it turns out. Let's see if Huberto can still put up 100 points. Let's see if Kadri can not have last year be an outlier season. But I mean, if you're just judging it right now based on what he has done with what he had to work with, I don't even think an A-plus is a... It's too low. A-plus is too low. Can we get a grade higher than A-plus?
A-plus-plus?
Double A plus?
I don't know. But yes, he gets the highest possible grade because he had the highest degree of difficulty and he succeeded. And you're right. We don't know what the end result will be. But at the very least, he has put his team in position to win and to compete. And that's all. That's your job. That is your job as a general manager. And Brad Treliving has 100% done it. So good for him. And if you're a Calgary Flames fan, you feel way better today than you did a month and a half ago.
Can I give an honorable mention? It did not make my podium. Mm-hmm. American consumers of chicken wings.
All right.
You are the honorable mention this week. Did you know that chicken wings have dropped to a four-year low? So if you want to go out and buy chicken wings, they are at the lowest price they have been in the last 4 years.
Okay, I don't want to rain on your parade here.
Oh no.
But it kind of needs to be said. Inflation is going up. Everything is getting more expensive, correct?
Yes.
So if chicken wing prices are going down, I'm assuming Big Chicken Wing, they still want to turn a profit.
Mm-hmm.
What corners are they cutting where they can still make a profit in an environment where everything is more expensive?
So I believe the demand for them has dropped because, one, people are not snacking on those things as much. Apparently, they gained a lot of steam and popularity during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Another part of it, though, is people are going with boneless bites for the restaurant, for the manufacturer. They're cheaper. So in correlation,
that's not a chicken wing. If it's boneless, it's not a chicken wing.
I know. That's what I'm saying, though. Yeah. Like, in correlation, because all these places are going and getting boneless wings, the people who make the ones with the wings have to lower the prices accordingly.
Yeah. See, I don't like to me, chicken bites, they're for children. Chicken bites are for toddlers. Anyone out there listening, okay? You have to order the chicken wings. And by the way, it can't all be drumsticks. You got to work for your chicken wing, the normal chicken wing, where you got to get through it and you got to fight through all the bones and stuff to get to all the meat.
Wings are better than drums.
Yes, wings are better than drums. Drums are easier, but the chicken wing, there's more of a sense of satisfaction. And if you are an adult and you want, I like boneless chicken wings, okay? I'm going to take your adult card away from you right now. You're a toddler. You're a child. You're going to sit at the kids' table. You're sitting at the kids' table, which is just a rickety old card table. You don't get to be with the adults. We're going to give you a glass of Tang. You get no wine.
I got to tell you, man, I eat both. So I'm taking some level of offense to what you're telling me here.
Well, then take some offense. There's really nothing I can.
What about Noodles? Noodles loves chicken fingers. He can't sit at your table anymore?
Oh, God, I have so many problems with McLennan. What I heard, he was at Turks and Caicos and didn't go swimming and, like, stayed inside and doesn't like to go to the pool. You're in this gorgeous, pristine, you're this beautiful resort, and there's an ocean staring at you. It's calling you. The song, the sea song of the mistress of the sea. I don't even know what the hell I'm saying anymore, except I'm angry.
What is the more egregious act? Eating boneless wings or not going swimming on vacation?
Not going swimming.
Yeah, I think so.
When you are at a resort where there is beautiful pools and there's a beautiful ocean, there is nothing more rejuvenating than just getting into that body of water and swimming out. And you're sitting there and you're treading water and you're alone with your thoughts. You don't have your phone around you. You're not on social media. You're not doing anything. Just you.
You and Mother Nature.
That's right.
I heard you talking about this yesterday, and I did not know you were such an enthusiast for bodies of water.
Let me tell you a really dumb story.
All right, here we go.
A bunch of years ago, I was first time I went to like St. John's, Newfoundland. And so we get there, and it's early summer, but it's in the summer. And my girlfriend and I, we grab our towels, and we leave the hotel, and we're wandering around the town. We want to try to find the beach. Because we want to go in the water. And we go up to a local townsperson. And we're like, hey, we would like to go swimming. Where do we go swimming? And they say, matter-of-factly, you can't. And we're like, oh, why can't we go swimming? And they just say, deadpanned, you'll die. We're like, huh? And they're like, you see that body of water? Like, yeah. Like, a couple days ago, there was a glacier there. And I'm like, hey, I guess you're right. I felt so stupid. You know, it's like, just because they were so matter of fact, yeah, you'll die if you go in the water.
So what is it about that body of water that and the glacier that would have killed you? Would you have been
so cold? Just the water was so cold that eventually you get hypothermia, you would die.
I thought you were saying you might get impaled by a piece of ice or something.
No. But if you are ever in a body of water where you could be impaled by ice, you'll probably be killed ahead of time because it's too cold. Like, I see any body of water, I want to jump into it, I want to swim in it, again, beyond some murky, murky river. So
yeah, that's probably fair. That's probably a good place to draw the line.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, death, that's the...
that's the line.
That's the line. I'm not going past there. Okay, we will take a break. On the other side, there is a couple just great pieces of sound about all things Deshaun Watson, and we'll get back into that. Plus, at 2:30, we are going to be previewing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That is coming up right here on Gameplay. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Gameplay. I'm your host, Matthew Cos, right here on TSN 1050. And it's brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. The show will end a little bit early at 3:30 because that's the pregame for Canada versus Czechia for the World Juniors semifinal action. So we will be here till 3:30. Coming up in about 10 minutes' time, we'll be previewing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But in this block, we'll get to football in a second. There's some sound I want to play, all related to Deshaun Watson. But before that, the other piece of news going back to hockey, and if we can have Kent Hughes, the general manager of the Montreal Canadiens, was talking about his goalie. Here's Hughes talking about what is the status for Carey Price.
The news in terms of Carey's knee is pretty discouraging in the sense that there hasn't been any improvement, through the rehab process all last season. It obviously continued to create problems for him. This summer, he went through the process of a shot to the knee, seeing if that would help. It did not. And at this point, we don't expect Carey to be available for the start of the season. Quite frankly, I don't know that there's a path for Carey to return this season through the rehab process.
Oof. Only played 5 games last year. And it feels like now, the Sean Manahan trade to Montreal and youth movement. And I don't know if we'll ever see Carey Price play another game for the Montreal Canadiens. The Montreal Canadiens, their journey seems to be in their cycle as a franchise of it is rebuild and kind of difficult to do with a goalie of that age, but also goalie that's going to screw things up by winning you a bunch of games when maybe you're not trying to win a lot and trying to get better draft positioning. And maybe, Chris, is our last memory of Carey Price going to be the 2021 playoffs, games 5, 6, and 7 against Toronto, where he gave up 7 goals in those 3 games, and 2 of those games went into overtime. That swept Winnipeg, 103 saves in that series, giving up just 7 goals. Vegas hit a 45-save game, 39 saves in the series, clinching Game 6. They got overwhelmed by Tampa. But I think maybe our last memory of Price is going to be against his playoff run 2 years ago.
I do think that that is a distinct possibility, and if that is indeed the case, I think it's pretty fitting, to be honest, because as much as Price does have regular season accomplishments, I think his biggest legacy is going to be how well he played in the playoffs. Honestly, you look at his numbers, he doesn't have the Stanley Cups to compete with some of the other all-time greats. But when you look at save percentage, goals against, wins, like he was a lock when it came to the playoffs. And he was a guy who somehow increased his game in the playoffs. He was already so good during the regular season, but he just found another level, another plateau of concentration. And it's really sad if this is how he's going to go out.
A plateau of concentration.
Yeah, I was going for something else there.
You tried. It didn't work, but it's okay.
Is it? Is it?
I was gonna let it slide, but on this show, we call out mistakes, we judge, shame, and praise. Awkwardly transitioning from that, Kyle Brandt from Good Morning Football, he has this great rant about Deshaun Watson. And just remember, Kyle Brandt is a broadcaster on the NFL's own TV network. And here's what he had to say.
What the hell was that in Cleveland yesterday? What was that? That was the plan? That was the presentation? Did you walk through it? Did you think about what you were going to say? What you're talking about here. March, Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson. I never did anything these people are alleging. I have no regrets. Last week, as discipline hung in the balance, and he's thinking maybe I might get an entire season, you do the hushed tones and you look down. Last week, I am truly sorry to all the women I have impacted in the situation. My decisions I've made in my life that have put me in this position, I would definitely like to have back. Discipline comes down. It's 11 games. It's 5 million. Yesterday, I'm continuing to stand on my innocence. Never assaulted anyone. Never disrespected anyone. And then he referred to people who were triggered. That back and forth, this flailing contradictions, are the actions of a liar. And then Jimmy Haslam comes on in the daddy role. And it's second chances and second chances. Second chances are for someone who did something wrong, did something bad. Your guy just said he didn't do anything. What do you mean second chances? And then he chases it with, well, he's a star quarterback, and needlessly pulls in Kareem Hunt. And then it doesn't mean we don't have empathy for women. Just woefully tone deaf. Just stop talking. Stop talking. Imagine if you were at home and you are a woman and you've gone through something like this, or your daughter has, or your mother has, and there's somebody up there saying, well, he's a star quarterback, so, you know, we got to give him a break. It doesn't mean we don't have empathy for the women. Bleep your empathy. You're an enabler. I'm supposed to be pleased about this? Closure, and they got it, and now we can stay. I still feel sick about it.
Yeah, I think that's the majority of people as well. And I do wonder about this. And listen, we're all guilty. I'm guilty of this. Where, you know, we pass judgment, often rightfully so, on an individual and their actions. Then we move on. And by the way, you have to move on, because if you focus on just everything of all the negative things that happen in terms of the news, and you just try to give every different piece of every story the emotions required, but you do that with every story. So tragedy in this country, here, here, and here, you will be an emotional wreck. In an hour, you'll be sitting in a corner. But we do move on. And we just celebrate the achievement. But I wonder with Deshaun Watson, will we continue? Like, will we be able to forget about it week 15 or 16? You know what? We'll debate that. I know we got to go. We're heavy. It's my fault. I should have thrown that out. It's a big question. But on the other side, we're going to flip-flop from the serious to just, we're going to talk football. Today, it's all about, we're focusing on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as we finish the NFC South. That is with James Yarcho, who covers the Bucs for Bucs Nation and Locked On Bucs podcast, coming up next.
We'll see. We'll talk about it next week. Not concerned about it right now. We're trying to practice against Tennessee and play a game. I said sometime after Tennessee, there's no definitive date for me, but we'll check on it. We'll keep in touch and we'll find out.
That was new head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Todd Bowles, about when Tom Brady will be back with the team. He's been away since August 11th to 10 to what has been described as personal things. And Bowles there said that he's not going to, that Brady would not be around for the second preseason game Saturday night. And, and he's not sure the exact return date. There's not been one specific. My own thoughts is I think this story gets a lot of ink because it's Tom Brady. I don't feel it's a big issue. But hey, I look at it from a distance. James Yarcho, who covers the team for Bucs Nation, deputy editor, also co-host of the Locked On Bucs podcast, is joining us today as we continue every day. We're previewing a different NFL team getting set for the season. James, thanks so much for joining the show today.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Happy to be on. Excited to talk some Buccaneers with you.
Yeah, so let's get to, and I appreciate it. Let's get this out of the way. I look at this as kind of a nothing burger, just because of Brady's career and professionalism and everything else. But I'm curious just what you're hearing. You're closer to it all than myself.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of things can be true at the same time, right? So Tom Brady, you know, year number 23, he doesn't need the preseason. He wasn't going to be playing in the preseason games. He was there for the first couple weeks of training camp, starting to get a rapport with some of the new guys like Julio, Kyle Rudolph, the rookie running back Rashad White, and then he leaves for personal matters. But at the same time, this is not a normal situation, and if it was anybody other than Tom Brady, I think there would be alarm bells and red flags going off everywhere. But, you know, it's just one of those situations. We'll probably get some clarity later on as to why there's an absence. And there's starting to be a crazy theory going viral on social media that while he was retired and, you know, signed his deal to be the lead color commentator on Fox, part of that was that he was going to go film The Masked Singer. It just so happens that The Masked Singer is filming right now, and it just happens to coincide with Brady's absence. So it's a fun little theory, and I apologize. I don't know the Reddit user that did this deep dive, but it's, you know, it's something fun to kind of talk about, but, you know, it could be something as simple as he and Giselle made plans with the kids while he was retired. And when he came back, she flat out said, you're not breaking these plans because you decided to unretire. So
yeah,
we'll get clarity down the road, but I don't see it as, you know, being a reason why all of a sudden the Bucks are not going to be contenders or a reason that they could potentially lose week one to the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, and I think if any player deserves the benefit of the doubt, it's the guy who last year at that age led the NFL in pass attempts, passing yards, and passing touchdowns. Speaking of which, of the offense, and I would imagine that the best case scenario for Tampa would be if Tom Brady did not lead the NFL in passing attempts again.
Yeah, probably not. You know, they're going to lean pretty heavy on Leonard Fournette again, and Todd Bowles has been pretty open about the fact that he wants to run the ball a little bit more. And when you have a guy like Leonard Fournette, you know, there's no reason not to. And I'll tell you what, Rashad White, you know, the rookie out of Arizona State, has looked absolutely fantastic throughout training camp. You have Giovanni Bernard, who looks phenomenal. And then Keyshawn Vaughn, who we saw flashes from last year because of injuries to Leonard Fournette and Gio Bernard. You know, he's still developing. And, you know, like I said, we've seen flashes from him in regular season action. He looks good in camp as well. So the Buccaneers have a really reliable stable of running backs, you know, led by Fournette. But, you know, if you can limit Brady's passes a little bit, it's obviously going to pay dividends come the postseason.
More likely to happen, Tom Brady wins. Which was it again? The Masked Singer. More likely to happen, Tom Brady wins The Masked Singer or Rob Gronkowski comes out of retirement?
I'm going to go with Gronk comes out of retirement on that one. I don't know if Brady can sing, to be honest. I would doubt it a little bit. But, you know, that's going to be something that's going to come up again. And I know Gronk has remained pretty steadfast that he's done. He's throwing a week one watch party in celebration of his retirement. But, you know, if the Buccaneers are heading into the postseason and they're sitting there at, you know, 9-5 or 9-6 and trying to make that final push, maybe Brady makes a phone call and says, look, you know, this is my last ride. I need you with me. Come be a difference maker in the postseason, and let's go win one more Lombardi together.
From a betting perspective, they are tied with the Buffalo Bills for projected win totals at 11.5. Buffalo is the only team with shorter odds to win the Super Bowl. Tampa Bay's going in at plus 750. I think it's fair to say that Tampa is clearly the class of the NFC. If I throw out James, their one Achilles heel is the offensive line. Would that be a fair statement?
I think so. I'm not sure if I'm going to call them an Achilles heel. I call them more of a question mark. You had Ryan Jensen go down on the second day of training camp practice, but Robert Hainsey out of Notre Dame, you know, he's learning a new position at center. He was a guard at Notre Dame, and he has looked really, really, really good. But at the same time, you're replacing an all-pro center in Ryan Jensen. You're replacing an all-pro caliber guard in Ali Marpet, who retired. You had Alex Kappa, who signed with the Cincinnati Bengals. And, you know, kind of the knock on Brady, if you're going to find a weakness there, is pressure up the middle. And you're having to replace the entire interior of that offensive line. And, you know, Luke Getteke, he's a second-round pick for the Buccaneers this year. He's starting to get some first-team reps. Aaron Stinney started for them at guard in the Super Bowl when they beat the Kansas City Chiefs because Alex Kappa was injured. He's, you know, a starting caliber guard. They made the trade for Shaq Mason. So, you know, they have some really solid players there along the offensive line. It's just a matter of how long is it going to take them to find the combination that they like, and you can just hold up and gel quick enough that Brady's not going to be pressured up the middle early and often.
And by the way, I think you would say that most quarterbacks, you pressure them up the middle, and you know their production's always going to go down. James Yarko is joining us, deputy editor for Bucs Nation, co-host of the Locked On Bucs podcast. All right, on the defensive side, it feels like there. If I was going to do an oversimplification, it would be a youth movement on the defensive line, an elite secondary, and killer linebackers in Devin White and Levante David. What am I missing?
Absolutely nothing. You know, it was a pleasant surprise, I think, that Carlton Davis re-signed with them. He was expected to get major, major money on the free agent market. He takes a little bit of a hometown discount to stay, and he's clearly the number one corner on this team. You have Jamel Dean and Sean Murphy Bunting kind of fighting for that number two spot. Sean Murphy Bunting coming off of a disappointing season. A lot of that, I feel, can be attributed to that week one injury that he suffered. Once he returned, he was never quite himself. So he's had a full off season. He's healthy again. He's looking good. They have another rookie, Zion McCollum, who is, he's long, he's athletic, he's quick, he's highly intelligent. I spoke to Antoine Winfield Jr. last week, and he's really excited about how well Zion fits in on this team once he really gets a grasp of the NFL game. So you also have the additions now of Logan Ryan and Keanu Neal at safety to join Winfield and Mike Edwards and find someone who loves you the way Todd Bowles loves safeties, right? And these guys are going to be just all over the field. You know, I look at Logan Ryan almost as that Swiss Army knife.
Yeah.
He can line up at slot corner. He can blitz from the outside. He can blitz from the inside. He can drop back deep. So you never really know where the pressure is going to come from, who's going to be the guy to come and take care of business, because we know Antoine Winfield can get out after the quarterback. You know, and then you have, of course, Devin White, Levante David there in the middle, freeing up, you know, lanes for these safeties, and the addition of Carl Nassib on the outside now as a depth piece behind Shaq Barrett and Joe Tryon Shoyinka. You know, this defense has the potential, like they did last year, to be really, really good, but they just suffered so many injuries throughout the year that it really hampered their ability to, you know, be that defense that we saw in the playoff run and in the Super Bowl. They didn't have their full starting defense until the first playoff game against the Philadelphia Eagles. So, you know, they have to stay healthy, obviously, and you can say that about any team. This team, there's such a drop-off at times when you have these starting corners going down and you try to bring in Richard Sherman and, you know, three days later after pulling him off the street, you throw him on the field. It just, there was no cohesion. And so you look for the health, and, you know, this Buccaneers defense has the talent to be a top three unit in NFL.
From a fantasy perspective, everyone knows, take Mike Evans, 8 straight years of 1,000 yards or more receiving. I think one of the more underrated skill guys in the league. But I throw out words like Chris Godwin and Julio Jones. Your feelings from a fantasy perspective with those two individuals?
It looks like Chris Godwin, he may not give you a ton of fantasy production the first couple weeks, but he is out there working. He was doing individual drills last week when the Dolphins were, you know, at the facility for the joint practices. Then the Bucs go to Nashville, and all of a sudden Chris Godwin is now getting involved in the 7-on-7s. So he's progressing really, really well. As far as Julio Jones is concerned, for the first time in a few years, he looks legitimately healthy. Julio Jones is going to be a problem, and it's not just going to be in the red zone. He is a guy that is going to be a possession receiver. He is going to be a target on third down, and it's going to put the Buccaneers in a favorable situation where the defense has to figure out who they're going to cover. Because if you're going to line up your third best corner on Julio Jones, you're going to lose. But you're also going to lose if you line that corner up on Godwin or Evans. So there may not be a ton of consistency as far as, you know, if you draft Mike Evans, that's going to be great. He's set personal records for touchdowns in a season back-to-back years now with Tom Brady, and you know you're going to get 1,000 out of him. But there were also times where over a three-game stretch, he had 4 catches for, I think it was 3 yards and 3 touchdowns. So, you know, you're not going to get a ton of volume. Some weeks it's going to be a Mike Evans week. Some weeks it's going to be a Godwin week. Some weeks it's going to be a Julio week. And then you still, of course, have Scotty Miller, Tyler Johnson, who has looked fantastic. They have probably 4 or 5 receivers now that they're going to cut that are going to end up on NFL rosters because that group has just been so impressive.
Man, that makes me a little bit nervous. It says basically say draft Brady. Also, I'd be nervous about the running backs. As you mentioned, there seems to be 4 viable options, and now we're getting I'm getting PTSD of when Tom Brady was with New England. James, I'll leave you with this question. It's a high number, 11.5. Would you take the over or under for 11.5 for regular season wins for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
That is a really tough number. Right now, I lean over just a little bit. I think this is probably going to be a 12-win team. They might be able to get to 13, but they have a very, very rough stretch to open the season. Things ease up a little bit. Of course, you also have to remember they get 2 against the Panthers, 2 against the Falcons. You can pretty much sharpie all 4 of those games into the win column. So you're really just looking for 8 more wins, and I think the Buccaneers are going to be able to do that. They get the Cleveland Browns the game before Deshaun Watson returns, so they're going to see, at best, Jacoby Brissett. They get a Steelers team that you don't really know what they're about quite yet. The Bengals are going to be tough, but that's at home. Baltimore, of course, is going to be tough. So I take the over, but it's real close.
Yeah, oh no, I agree. Like, just... Yeah, thankfully I got a little more time before I got to figure that out. James, really appreciate it. People want to check out your work, your content. Where'd they go find you?
Yeah, I'm the deputy editor of BucksNation.com. I'm co-host of the Locked On Bucks podcast, which is available on all podcast catchers as well as YouTube. And we have daily content Monday through Friday and the occasional bonus episodes thrown in. So at least 5 episodes a week. Every week over at Locked On Bucks. And for those that want to follow on Twitter, it's at @JYarko_Bucks.
James, really appreciate. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the season. Hopefully we can chat with you during the year.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. I mean, this in terms of relevant teams in the NFL, there's very few that are as high as the I was almost going to say the New England Patriots, but of course the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And again, I think of all, there are so many favorite stats when it comes to Tom Brady. I do love the fact that he is 2nd all time in rushing yards for football players at the age of 40 and over. On the other side, we'll get back into the Toronto Blue Jays and a very unusual real estate Toronto listing. That's coming up. In the Dufferin and St. Clair area, there is a triplex century home. It's about 3,000 square feet, I think. And the price is $2.149 million. And on the sign outside, you know, it's like for sale, it has the words, not haunted. And when you read the story, I saw this in blog TO for this 3,500 square foot feet of living space, 3 kitchens, making it an ideal candidate for an income property. The real estate agent explains this was done just for a laugh. And you see the sign. It is kind of funny. And big, bold letters at the bottom of the for sale sign with a picture of the real estate agent. It says, not haunted. My question for you, Chris, If a home would be in your price range that was priced fairly, say something that was priced in 2003, would you care if the house was haunted if you got a good deal?
Probably not. No, my girlfriend and I, we watch a lot of like the extraterrestrial spirit kind of like alien ghost videos on YouTube. So I would welcome that in, but I do have to say, What's that example of? It's like my shirt that says my house is not haunted is answering a lot of questions. I forget how that phrase go. I butchered it so bad.
You did.
But you know the phrase I'm talking about, right?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about. I was really hoping that was going to make some sense. I'm trying to yes end you. Okay, I'm trying not to block you.
I'm going to get back to you
this
in the next break.
This is not your best moment as a broadcaster.
No, it's not. But I'm going to get back to you, and I'm going to give you the correct phrase.
Okay, I'm excited.
But yes, I absolutely would buy a house that had one of those signs on the front. I mean, hey, sometimes you're lonely. Sometimes your significant other's not home, and maybe you want to hang out with the ghosts a little bit. We all know that if you're a Maple Leafs fan, you already have tons of ghosts in your life. So, I mean...
Is that the best way? Was that you trying to redeem? Was that joke there trying to...
Well,
trying
you
to
tell
redeem?
Me if I did or not.
Yeah, you didn't. You didn't. Speaking of the Maple Leafs and ghosts, how about that for transition? Chris Johnston, NHL reporter for TSN, tweeted out, Nazem Kadri says he plans to bring the Stanley Cup to Toronto as part of his day with the trophy next week. He'll have it at his home in London as well. Chris, my thought here is that you should not be allowed to bring the Stanley Cup in the city of Toronto because that's just mean.
Yeah, that's probably fair to say. Although, I mean... There's so many non-Leafs fans. I mean, they probably get a kick out of seeing all the pain and suffering that it causes. So, I mean...
I just feel that, like, once it gets to the... Like, you know, like, the invisible electric fences to keep dogs, you know, from leaving the property? I feel there should be one of those, but the Stanley Cup is not allowed to enter the Toronto city limits. Just because it'd be mean for all of us to see that trophy, but no, it's far away from actually coming to this city.
I mean, that's a very Leafs-centric view, I think.
That's right.
I think there's a lot of people who should not have to suffer for the ineptitude that we witness from that team every year.
Well, you know, that's... it's a Leaf-centric show, so, you know, bleep it. I don't want it. Kadri, congratulations. Enjoy it in the city of London. Keep it out of the GTA. We got to take a break on the other side. Nothing but praise for the Calgary Flames, and we'll do that in just a moment right here on Gameplay.